When people pray or lead prayer in public, if it is a person of another denomination, they often, and we do too, present a prayer. At the end, we say, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Or hear this prayer in the name of Jesus. And that's a wonderful way to pray. But as Catholics, we are known for beginning prayers and ending prayers with the sign of the cross. Now, the cross, at one level, takes us right to Jesus and that fundamental act of love and sacrifice that is our salvation. So it's all in there. But we also name Father along with the Son and the Holy Spirit in the sign of the cross. We name who God is for us as community, family, divine creator and sustainer, the parent, the prime mover, as sometimes is referred to. Secondly, the redeemer, saving brother, and the unifying and empowering spirit, that energy that draws us into unity and peace. We know we need desperately peace these days, and there was an old sister who was noticing on the news what was going down in so many places in this world with the violence, and she said, "We will never have peace until we recognize that we are all one family, all one family." And that little nugget of truth is just clear to anyone who has reflected on humanity and who we are in God. Because we tend to focus, as in our weakness, in our fears, in our anxieties, on the them and us, on the black and the white, on the rich and the poor, the educated and non-educated, the young and the old. We tend to make divisions and separations, and we put ourselves in one or the other most of the time, which kind of begins this process of saying, well, they're different and I don't have to let them into my life as I would the one on our side, ones on our side of the fence. Even Christians and non-Christians, I mean, ultimately in God, they're all one family, one people, one family. The challenge for us down through the ages, as we remember how we have not lived that very well, is to not set others apart as so different that they become named as evil, the enemy, the ones that have no rights or any right to even live. And thus begins war crimes, genocides, and horrible acts of violence, which we've heard in the news so recently and so often. But not to focus so much on that dark part of it, let's go back to the Holy Trinity and how we name God, not just as God is in God's own nature apart from us, but how God is for us and inviting us into relationship. God as Trinity is essentially relational. And it begins, there are three points here that I would like to make. The first one is, it begins with God's desire. We know the Bible, first book of Genesis, begins in the beginning. And you know the rest of it. God created the heavens and the earth. But why? Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Some of you know and have perhaps struggled with infertility and have so wanted to share your life of love with children that became a desire that just grew in a big way. And you know that as parents. Could you imagine that God has such a desire? And in his, you know, at the beginning of creation, so wanted to share that intimacy of divine love with others, with children, that God desired to have kids. Just think about that. And as that unfolded, then there was a people, the Israelites, who heard the parental voice constantly encouraging and drawing near and among them as his special children. So God wanted a desire to have children. At first reading even talked about how God in the spirit, wisdom is embodied here as kind of the spirit aspect of Trinity, delighted in the human race at the end of that first reading. Secondly, not only did God desire it, but actually took the steps to make it possible and offer intimate, close-up, face-to-face relationship. And that was through Jesus, of course, in that incarnational visitation and presence. And then through that, to actually become adopted children of God, the whole human race. That's what happens when parents can't have kids themselves, and they sometimes adopt them to let that desire happen. And Jesus, even in his own prayer, is described in the Gospel of John, I believe, that he calls God Abba, which is the Aramaic word for daddy, that intimate, close relationship. And with family comes joys and sorrows, ups and downs, and all of that. And we know that that's a part of family life, even and sometimes painfully within the family of God. But Scripture also talks about how even the spousal relationship is similar to God's relationship to his people. So that's the second. First, that God desires to share his life and takes the steps to make it happen. And thirdly, sends us on a family mission. We all, as a family, individual families, have a mission. And even if it's unconscious, you have a kind of an awareness of what our family is about. What are the expressed or unwritten rules of how we operate? What's important to us as a family? How we share our life? For example, just this week, we had the funeral here of Leanna Brown. Well, she's primarily from Nicollet, but she had the funeral here. And as we shared in the sharing of memories at the wake, it became clear that the mission of her and her family, she was the matriarch, was involved sharing sacred music. She played and directed the choir over at Nicollet and other places and taught her four daughters to sing, and they taught their grandchildren, and it just got perpetuated, and it became every one of them plays an instrument or uses their voice to praise God and to share the blessings of music. That's part of their family mission. Now, what is our family mission as Christians? It is this: to proclaim God's love in the world. To be that love in the world. That's our mission. Now, the world will give us different missions. They would say, whoever they are, our mission is to gain power, just get strong and be able to direct and control your affairs and you know, that's an illusion, of course. It's just an illusion. Then others would say, well, our mission is to make money so you can buy stuff. Materialism and its offer of comfort or whatever you want to buy. And of course, we know that's an illusion, but that's what the world would say. And a third thing the world would say is, well, just go for the fun, pleasure. Just do whatever pleases you, and that's your mission. God wants us to enjoy life, no? Yes and no. There's a bigger mission beyond that. So, we know we are loved, desired by God. God delights in us and loves us. And there are symbols all around us, especially the cross, that help us to see that. And so, we have a mission to love as God loves, to be that love in the world. And that means three things: to love all people, all the time, with all you got. All people, all the time, with all you got. Now, when we say, well, I'm only human, I can't do that all the time, or especially not that one, or that crazy uncle, or whoever. But we're more than human, because the second reading said the Holy Spirit has been poured out into our hearts, and we have that capacity to love like God if we tap into it. Well, that doesn't mean that there isn't weakness, there isn't a struggle with that, but it is possible. We have all that we need to love all people. That means not picking and choosing the ones we like. It means all the time, not hot and cold, good days, bad days, early in the morning or late at night, depending on if you're a morning person or a night person, you know. No, all the time. Do what love requires, as God does. And thirdly, unconditionally. Not saying, I'll only go this far. I got to protect my backside. Because Jesus held nothing back. His very life. And so we're back to the cross and sacrificial love, because doing what love requires does involve sacrifice. It also offers great satisfaction and great enjoyment when we know we are living the image of God that we've been created to be like, when we are all that we can be. You heard that about the army, you know, be all you can be. But as Christians, when we say be all you can be, means to love like God, to be that love in the world. And so we pray that today on this feast of Solemnity of the Holy Trinity, that we would be able to choose that and live that more fully each day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.